Hey everyone, I'm Thanos Davelis, and welcome back to The Greek Current, a podcast by the Hellenic American Leadership Council and Kathimerini, where we highlight the top stories of the day every afternoon with analysis from guest experts, policymakers, journalists, and HELC staff. Greece sealed an arms deal with France on Tuesday for the purchase of frigates worth about 3 billion euros. The agreement is part of a broader defense and security strategic partnership pact that includes a clause on mutual defense assistance and which French President Emmanuel Macron and Greek Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis described as historic. The two leaders announced the deal together in Paris, and both made a point to stress that in addition to strengthening cooperation in the region and safeguarding the sovereignty and territorial integrity of both countries, the deal is also an important step towards European strategic autonomy. Vasilis Nedos, Kathimerini's diplomatic and defense editor, joins us to break down this historic deal between Greece and France. Vasilis, welcome back on The Greek Current.
Thanks for having me.
Vasili, you've been tracking Greece's efforts to upgrade its navy and the various bids from countries like France, the United States, the Netherlands, the UK, and others who have been vying to partner with Greece in order to sell Athens frigates. France has won that bid. What can you tell us about the details of this deal between Greece and France for these warships?
The agreement was signed the morning of Tuesday in Paris between the ministers of defense and ministers of foreign affairs of the two countries under the auspices of the President of France, Emmanuel Macron, that earlier that day met with his Greek counterpart, Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis. The agreement is about the procurement of three frigates with the ability of adding one more if Greece chooses to. The first two frigates would be delivered within 2025, or at least that's the timetable. And the third frigate will be delivered in 2026. The total cost of the procurement of this agreement between the two countries is 2.9 billion euros. It encompasses not only the fully equipped frigate, which is missiles, radars, all kinds of weapons and radars and sonars, but also a four-year period of follow-on support. So one would say that by the result, we understand that this was a very competitive proposal by the French. It was formulated in the last few weeks, and there have been discussions and contacts between the two parties, between a naval group company that develops these platforms. I mean, it will be diminishing to call it just a ship. It is a very advanced weapon platform, and Hellenic Navy officials.
As we've discussed on our previous podcast, Vasili, France and the United States have been the main frontrunners in the bid for the contract to upgrade Greece's navy since Greece announced it would buy new frigates almost 2 years ago. What tipped the balance in favor of France?
There is a number of issues. I think that France was much more ready this time to sign not only an agreement for the procurement of these frigates, but also for establishing that strategic partnership of cooperation in defense and security. So it's not just a procurement program, but it's also a defense and security cooperation agreement that is rare between countries that are both member states of the European Union and NATO. It is a very advanced agreement. So this is one thing. The second one is that something we've already mentioned, that this was a very competitive proposal. A year ago, the French were selling two frigates in the price of 3 billion. This year, we have the same proposal for three frigates. Also, it looks like the French are willing to give designs for developing and building the Gowind corvettes in Greek shipyards if there is a solution of that sort. I mean, in terms of how the Greek government somehow clears the atmosphere on what's happening in the shipyards. And that means that if an additional agreement would be signed at some point, Greece could acquire up to 6 or even 8 ships in total from France. The main unit fleet of the Hellenic Navy right now is comprised by 13 very seasoned frigates, and the French deal looked much more reasonable than the other competitive proposal, which was the American one. And in terms of the purely technical point, which I merely reproduce because I'm just a journalist and I have no special knowledge on the specifics of weapons and radars, it seems that the highest level of Hellenic Navy, they thought that the French proposal, the French frigate, was better than the one that was proposed by Lockheed Martin.
In our previous podcast, we had talked about how Greece was adamant about including a interim solution in any deal for the frigates. Has France proposed any ship that Greece could take charge of right now?
Well, the interim solution, you know, was one part of the whole discussion about the Hellenic Navy program. The early delivery of the two first FDI French frigates is the response of the French into what the Navy described as an interim solution. Because in any case, there wouldn't be any delivery of interim solution before 2023-2024. So the French are actually binded by this agreement to procure the first two ships in mid-2025. So as I told you before, if there is some kind of another discussion between the two governments in the next month, there could be also a procurement of the Gwent corvettes, which are much smaller ships and can be built quicker. But I should also add, even though right now the budget is very restricted, and this is one of the main reasons why Greece did not go for the full package, but was limited to the 2.9 billion procurement of the three French frigates right now. We should remind to your audience that the defense budget, the Hellenic Navy budget for this program was 5 billion. Right now, the government decided to put 2.9 billion on that Hellenic Navy modernization program. This doesn't necessarily mean that there are still 2 billion to be somehow exploited for other programs, but it means that right now the government thinks that it is too early to go on the next stage. So I would say that things are open. We will see things in the coming months, and let's wait a little bit more.
As you noted earlier, this isn't simply about an arms sale, but it's also a strategic deal that changes the situation in the Eastern Mediterranean. So along with the deal to buy French warships, Greece and France also signed a mutual defense agreement. Both leaders described the deal as historic. How significant is this agreement for Greece and the region, and what are some of the key provisions that you would highlight for our listeners?
To answer the second part of your question, I think that Article 2 of this agreement is the most important. According to that article, the two parts, France and Greece, committed to each other that they would rush to the aid of one another, even with the use of arms, if one of those countries was receiving an attack in its territory. As vague as that may seem, we've never seen it in paper on a bilateral level. Of course, on the preamble of the agreement, there is a very clear cut mentioning of the articles that bind the two countries in general, like the Treaty for the European Union, Article 42, Paragraph 7, but also the Washington Treaty that was the foundation stone of NATO. So, in my personal opinion, this is the most important article of the agreement. Now, there are details that indicate that French armed forces are going to be more present in Greece. We're not going to see something similar to what we know that happens between Greece and the United States in the last year. It is not an agreement similar to MDCA, but definitely it prepares the two sides for an even deeper cooperation. We will see more often French warships, French fighting aircraft or other elements in Greece, in airports and ports around the territory. And I think that the French have no problem of being also present in Greek islands. And this is something very important. And when I'm talking about Greek islands, I'm talking about Eastern Aegean islands that threatened directly by Turkey, at least rhetorically sometimes. So it is an important agreement. And in that regard, I think that we will see the two countries being more coordinated also on diplomatic issues. Of course, Greece and France have a very different political and diplomatic weight in global politics, but they can enhance European credibility and European presence in the Mediterranean. And if I may add one last thing, there is also an explicit provision that Greece should be there when France asked for it. And I think that the most important, and this is actually mentioned because French have that mission in the Sahel in Africa, where there is a European force under French leadership that fights against Islamic terrorism. And Greece is expected to be present in that front as well.
This announcement, Vasily, comes almost a couple of weeks after the United States announced a deal with Australia and the United Kingdom to deal with China, and that deal caught France and other EU nations by surprise. Would you say that today's development is also a response to the AUKUS deal, which is a deal that we also spoke about on our podcast?
I wouldn't describe it as a response to the AUKUS. Much more likely is that it was like a wake-up call for the Europeans, especially, of course, the French interests were directly influenced by this agreement. They lost a huge contract with Australia. So they definitely wanted to somehow get back in a way. The amount of contracts that Naval Group, which is the same company that builds the FDI frigates and it would construct the Australian submarines, they're losing substantial gains from these contracts. So, okay, there is that economic part to see things. The second thing, as I said, it was a wake-up call. The Europeans suddenly understand that, you know, the United States do have other theaters that they have to be present, which are more vital for their national security interests. So somehow Europe has to be able to formulate its own defense policy and actually to be even able to promote power, to promote military power in the region. And I think that the Europeans also understand that the honeymoon that started after the foundation of NATO and still goes on, that we have European security being guaranteed by U.S. hard power, U.S. military force, that this situation may not necessarily come to an end, but the Europeans have to pay a part of that price. The Americans can no longer be the sole providers of security for Europe, and Europe needs to start picking up its pieces in that sector, which is safeguarding the security and prosperity of its population, and take responsibilities that were, in a way, I would say, even outsourced to the United States. And unfortunately, the most indicative example of that approach is Germany. And no matter what Greece, France, or other countries in the European Union are doing to try to enhance what the Europeans call the strategic autonomy, it will go nowhere unless the Germans are on board.
Moving us from, you know, the Greek-French relationship and the European Union, I want to look at the Greece-United States relationship. Greece is in the final stages of negotiating a mutual defense cooperation agreement with the United States. Does this naval deal, which saw the French offer, edge out that of the United States, and the defense agreement between France and Greece affect the longstanding relationship that Greece has with the United States and the ongoing negotiations over the MDCA?
Well, the answer is that, of course, the Americans are not happy with that agreement. It's certain. I mean, there is a French company that won not an important bid in terms so much of money, but of symbolism, because Hellenic Navy is a highly reputable navy that makes use of its naval assets. So the Americans wanted to have the opportunity to sell the Lockheed Martin HF to Greece. But besides that, I think that Prime Minister Mitsotakis also was adamant in his statement earlier when he stated that MDCA talks are going to proceed and we're going to have a five-year agreement on renewing the MDCA with the United States. So I don't think that the overall, that what happened these days, the contract between Greece and France and the procurement of frigates will somehow influence MDCA. Anyhow, France is a European Union and NATO country. French-built systems are completely interoperable with NATO systems. So I don't see how the procurement of French frigates could create problems to an ongoing process, an ongoing negotiation between Athens and Washington on a five-year agreement for the mutual defense of the two countries. I think that we've done this discussion before. There are things on the table between Greece and the United States that are still under discussion. It seems that Greece has agreed to move forward with five-year renewal of the MDCA. And this is not just, you know, sometimes people think that this is a way of Greece to cede, let's say, sovereignty to the United States. It's not exactly like that. By signing a five-year agreement, it makes it easier for Congress to acknowledge the need for bigger and more in-depth investments in the bases that the U.S. forces are going to be present. So this is going to be a benefit for the Hellenic Armed Forces as well, since we're going to see airports, ports, and other facilities around Greece being renovated with this money, being refurbished, being modernized. The thing is that from the Greek point of view, there should have been more places, more bases around Greece that could be of use for the U.S. Armed Forces. One of these places were the Naval and Air Force base of Skyros. The island of Skyros is in the central Aegean. I think that in the end of the day, Greece is going to be very content if there is something similar to the letter of the previous State Secretary Mike Pompeo, where he was very supportive of the Greek stability role and declared that the United States is going always to be at the side of Greece in its effort to not only be that country that supports stability in the region and the international law, but also in Greece's efforts to tackle hostility whenever that came from. And actually, at the time, there were some quite strong words because we were just a few days after the end of the Oroochcrates crisis. So I think that if we have a similar letter from Mr. Blinken, we will have the MDCA ready by October 14th when Minister of Foreign Affairs Nikos Dendias is visiting Washington to take part in the third strategic dialogue between Greece and the United States, and likely to also sign the new MDCA.
Vasily, thanks for joining us on The Greek Current. Again, great speaking with you.
Thanks.
In other news, Turkey's plan to purchase additional Russian defense weapons and its authoritarian regime were criticized on Tuesday during a Senate hearing on President Biden's ambassador nominee to Turkey, Jeff Flake. During the hearing, Flake criticized Turkish President Erdogan's purchase and test firing of the S-400 missile defense system, saying any purchase of additional Russian weapons will result in additional sanctions. Concerns over Turkey's authoritarian turn and its aggressive crackdown on critics were also raised. Flake promised to challenge Turkey to uphold its domestic and international human rights commitments, while also pushing Turkey to live up to its status as a NATO ally. Finally, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres hosted a lunch on Monday for Cypriot President Nikos Anastasiadis and Turkish Cypriot leader Ersin Tatar, hoping to bring them back to negotiations on reunifying Cyprus. President Anastasiadis called the meeting creative, saying the divergence in the positions of the two sides had been noted by the UN chief. Anastasiadis said Guterres is considering the appointment of a special envoy who would explore confidence-building measures and search for common ground for the possible resumption of talks in the future. In an interview later on Monday, Cypriot Foreign Minister Nikos Christodoulidis rejected Turkey's two-state solution, saying the only viable solution for Cyprus is as a federation. That wraps up today's episode of The Greek Current. Thanks for tuning in.